Monster Man, special episode, Luchas de Apuestas. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a special episode brought to you by the generosity and public spirit of my Patreon backers, and in particular, of Patreon backer Liam. If you'd like to be like Liam and get your own special episode, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. And if you do that, you'll also get access to the rewards for other tiers, including all new episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities. So Liam, thank you very much for your support, and I hope that you enjoy the show. In his email, Liam mentioned that he enjoyed the more off-the-beaten-path episodes that are requested by patrons, and he has certainly, I hope, requested the type of episode he's going to enjoy, because it's not actually a monster that Liam wants me to talk about, but a kind of conflict, that one-on-one, high-stakes conflict. And naturally, Liam has picked the best example of this type of one-on-one, high-stakes conflict in modern media, and I'm talking, of course, about Lucha Libre. For those of you who aren't familiar with Lucha Libre, it is Mexican professional wrestling, and it has been very influential in how professional wrestling has developed in other parts of the world as well. So a lot of Japanese professional wrestling, or American, or, you know, Anglophone, I guess, professional wrestling has been inspired by Lucha Libre. And in fact, I think as I was researching this episode, I saw some articles arguing that the traditions of Lucha Libre that we're going to be talking about in this episode are actually inspired by practices from other parts of the world. And of course, that makes perfect sense, right? This is an industry where things, you know, go back and forth and are inspired by things from different regions. So I'm not making some claim for the originality of these things, but I would say that Mexico is where the things we're going to talk about today are best known. I love the cultural presence of Lucha Libre. If you're not familiar with it, particularly in kind of like the 60s and 70s, luchadors, wrestlers, were superstars, you know, were huge celebrities. And in particular, the most famous of these was Santo. And Santo starred as himself in a series of movies, dozens of them, in which he fought monsters and aliens and mad scientists and whatever. I mean, they were not what you'd call high-budget films, and they were mostly for kids, although when they get into the 70s, it's very much that kind of grindhouse, like what some people think is appropriate for kids is pretty wild sort of atmosphere. But Santo became like an iconic figure of Mexican pop culture, and as a result, I think Lucha Libre has become symbolic of Mexico. Like, you will often find things that have nothing to do with Lucha Libre, like, you know, brands of Mexican food or whatever, that advertise themselves with the iconic image of a luchador's mask. And it's those masks that we're going to talk about a little bit today. Many, although far from all, luchadors wear these colorful masks, and each mask design is unique to the person wearing it, and you'll often see them being passed down. So you'll see wrestlers called, you know, so-and-so Junior or so-and-so the fourth often having a similar mask, maybe not even exactly the same mask as their predecessor, and they don't necessarily have to be related, although it's often a family business. These masks are the symbol of that wrestler's character and identity. And that is why it is very significant when they are put on the line in a mask match. And the mask match is a type of what's known as a lucha de apuestas, a betting match, or like a match with stakes. If you want to see some, if you just go on YouTube and search for lucha de apuestas máscara contra máscara, or máscara versus máscara, which means mask against mask, right? What the wrestler will bet is their mask. And if they lose, they won't be able to wear that mask again, which in many cases means retiring the character, and often revealing their real identity. Now, of course, many luchadors don't wear masks, so their equivalent is the hair match. A hair match is when you bet that you will have your hair shaved off in the ring after the match if you lose. Hair match is also maybe my least favorite song on the wrestling-themed Mountain Goats album Beat the Champ, not because it's a bad song, but because I just feel too depressed after I listen to it. And if you say, James, how can you say that something is a bad Mountain Goat song because it makes you feel depressed? Isn't that the whole idea? I guess maybe, but that's how I feel. The thing about hair and match masks is that they're incredibly dramatic and exciting. Now, you may not enjoy professional wrestling. Like I said, I mostly don't watch it myself. But it's very easy to watch one of these hair or mask matches and really get caught up in the drama of it. What Liam is asking is, how do we bring that drama to games? I think there are three components of the drama of a lucha de apuestas, and we should think about how we implement each of those three in role-playing games. Go through them one by one. Element one, stakes. Because here's the thing. I was watching, as part of preparation for this episode, a lucha de apuestas between Pentagon Jr. and Villano Cuarto. And in the crowd, you can see fans of the two wrestlers, right? Wearing the t-shirts or holding signs or, in many cases, wearing the official licensed version of the mask. And eventually, as the match draws to its conclusion, it becomes clear that one of the wrestlers has lost. You can see fans of that wrestler weeping in the audience, you know, tears streaming down their faces. But this is not like sports fans watching their team lose. This is not a competition. This is a performance. It's all fake. Wrestling is fake. It's a work, as they say. It's a work, brother. But the stakes in a mask or hair match, the stakes in a lucha de apuestas are real, even though the match is fake. The audience doesn't know how it's going to turn out, even though the participants do. And if your favorite luchador loses, you're not going to see that mask anymore. That mask that you might have seen week in, week out for years. You might not get to see your favorite luchador perform anymore. It's a bit like not knowing whether your favorite character dies in a TV show. It can still move you. Because even though the story is fake, the stakes in terms of what you lose are real. I mean, and of course, hair is usually real. You know, normally I would say hair is real. So stakes help make something have an emotional impact, even though the thing itself is not in doubt. Second, context. One of the things that makes a lucha de apuestas so exciting is the fact that it produces a dramatic result either way. There's no outcome where nothing happens. Either one wrestler wins or the other wrestler wins. You know, sometimes whatever, the bad guys rush the ring and there's another, you know, shocking plot twist or whatever. But typically, the reason that this form of drama emerged around, you know, wrestling is that face-to-face, one-to-one, to use a Spanish expression, mano a mano, conflict. That purest distillation of competition between two characters. And either way, the winner or loser will be someone you care about. Love them or hate them, they'll be important to you. Compare this to, for instance, a James Bond film. One of the things that the Bond films are known for are these kind of memorable villains. And they have to be that way because we're watching James Bond, a character that we know is going to win, going up against an opponent who we've just been introduced to earlier in this movie. Now, I'm not saying they're always successful. Some Bond villains are better than others. Many are, shall we say, of their time. This is something you get in Marvel films as well, where it's a cliche that, like, slumming prestige actors, I guess they're not slumming anymore, but prestige actors play the villains in superhero movies. And that is, of course, because, so like, if we're going into this movie where everybody already knows who Spider-Man is and is presumptively on Spider-Man's side, we can't just have 2 hours of Spider-Man beating up some shimp. We need to make the villain big and colorful, and we need him to be someone that the audience, like, will latch onto, because otherwise this conflict isn't going to seem... So the fact that both of these are existing characters, that they have tradition behind them, and in many cases they have a tradition that predates that person's performance in the character. So like when Son of Santo comes out into the ring, he is carrying with him the legacy of, you know, Santo, which can be a burden as well. But context, history. We're not just fighting some hobgoblins. We're fighting this particular hobgoblin who we have a history and relationship with. You don't just challenge some random wrestler to a hair match. It has to be somebody you really hate in the narrative. Third, action. A lot of the power and drama of a wrestling match comes from the characters and their history, but you can do what I did and just go and look up luchas de apuestas on YouTube that you don't know anything about and still have a really good time because the action is so exciting and fun. It's cool to know what the history between these two characters is, but watching one of them hit a springboard crossbody on the other is fun regardless of whether you know who they are. It's exciting. It's visually exciting. I mentioned the match between Pentagon Jr. and Villano Cuarto. Like, that starts with a minutes-long indigenous dance slash hip-hop performance before Pentagon even, like, comes out from backstage. It's so spectacular and theatrical. It's really enjoyable to watch. To be a luchador is to be someone who's an expert both in the kind of athleticism required to pull it off, but also in a kind of action storytelling. And what makes someone successful is more the storytelling part than the action part. Any wrestling fan could give you lists of wrestlers who are indifferent technical wrestlers who succeeded because of their personality, their charm, their acting. So the action is an element that stands on its own, regardless of your knowledge of the context. Okay, so it looks like we got a three-element formula for making good one-on-one fights. We'll talk about what makes a one-on-one fight different from a party fight in a moment. Can we do this in gaming? I feel like there are challenges. In order to explain why there are challenges, let me tell you about the best fight I was ever in a game. I've never been in a good fight in real life. Best game fight I was ever in. I was playing a character who was a rogue trader. If you're not familiar with the 40K setting, kind of a space pirate. I was a space pirate captain. Fairly newly a space pirate captain. And I was at a big celebration during which there was a fighting tournament. And I entered because I knew that I couldn't be seen not to enter. The organizers of the tournament, who included both player characters and NPCs, were a bunch of meddling, drama-loving people. And they arranged for one of the other captains, kind of the biggest dog among the captains and like my friend but also my rival, to fight his girlfriend in the first bracket and for me to fight my girlfriend in the first bracket. So he comes out, says, oh, I would never fight you, like, I yield. And they go, okay, well, that means you can go together as a pair. So I come out and she says, you know, I don't want to hear any of this like romantic claptrap. And I said, sure, but like neither of us can fight those guys alone. So we do the same thing. It's going to be a doubles match. The doubles match starts. It's me versus the biggest kid in the class and his relatively new love interest who he wants to show off in front of. Me with my relatively new love interest who I want to show off in front of. And he is her boss, right? She's a member of his crew. And this fight is incredibly, like, people are interfering. Like, people in the audience are attacking both sides. People in the audience are fighting each other to stop the interference. People are screaming. People are cheering. At the end of it, everybody's down except me. I'm thrilled with my victory. And the ref calls timeout and my, like, healing effects wear off and I drop unconscious. That fight was widely discussed as a highlight of the game afterwards, and it has all the hallmarks. It had stakes. I won a prize because I did win the tournament, although thanks to cheating and favoritism, I won the tournament. It had context because of all the social stuff that surrounded who the fighters were, and it had action. But here's the thing. The reason I remember the action of that fight so fondly is that it was a LARP. It was me with a pretendy sword in my hand and three other people with pretendy swords in their hands and actual physicality, right? Like, we're running around the ring, we're fighting. Now, if you watch a video of a LARP fight, it looks silly. It's not like we're trained fencers or anything like that, or at least I'm not. But the fact that it's you, literally you, doing it makes it feel very memorable and exciting. It's one of those things that you have to do rather than look at. That also meant that the stakes were real. Like, I, James Holloway, won a prize. I wear, as part of my costume, the gear that I won in that fight. It's more than just saying, like, oh, you won and you got, like, bragging rights. I actually did get a thing out of the victory. Stakes, context, action. Tabletop games do stakes and context just fine. Or at least they have the capability to do it, even if a lot of boss fights sort of don't do that, or at least don't always do that. I playtested a scenario a couple of years ago now, and we wandered into the boss fight. Like, we had no idea what was going on, but we blundered into the boss fight. And we beat the guy. And it sort of felt hollow because we hadn't really had that much buildup about who he was. It was there in the scenario, but we had just kind of not got it. But most classic fantasy RPGs can easily do stakes and context. You know, we're going to get the blue jewel. We're going to prevent the undead army from marching. We're going to rescue the prince. But they don't deal super well with the action aspect of a one-on-one combat, because the main thrust of most classic fantasy RPG combat systems is positional, because RPGs are about groups. You may be tempted to say that this is because RPGs descend from war games, but I'm actually not sure that's it. Early versions of D&D tend to not even have combat be all that positional, right? The analogy to the maneuvering phase of a war game, i.e. the interesting bit, if you're playing a more traditional war game, is the exploration section of the dungeon rather than the combat section. That is to say that older versions of D&D and games that are based on it, RuneQuest is another good example of this actually, the question that's interesting is not what you do during a fight, but whether to fight or not. Once you're in a fight, most of these games, it's just swing, get swung at, swing, get swung at, swing, get swung at. And one of you is better and one of you is worse and the better one wins, or somebody's unlucky. But you're typically not making interesting choices in a one-on-one fight. In early D&D, a head-to-head fight between two characters is seldom all that interesting. It's just dice rolling. All the decisions have been made. The same is kind of true in modern D&D. There are more character options that allow you to like do clever stuff in a one-on-one fight, but typically not. That's really not what the system does. And furthermore, the kinds of characters who have those options are often not like front rank fighters. I have played the only frontliner in a party. In the game where I played my paladin, I was the only heavy armor damage doer in the squad. Everybody else was some kind of clever spellcaster. And I remember just round one, clanking forward, going nose to nose with the biggest monster I could find, and then seeing whether I ran out of smites before it ran out of hit points. No is the answer. But like, my turns were real short. You know, I had attack dice that corresponded to my damage dice, like in color, and I just rolled them all in a big handful. Because why waste time? And that's not necessarily a criticism, it's just not really what the system does. It's not what it excels at. I'm recording this in the middle of January 2023. People have got a lot to complain about the behavior of Wizards of the Coast, and I think that those complaints are merited. A lot of people have taken this as an opportunity to like air their grievances about 5th edition and suggest that people play other systems, which, sure, absolutely. But I do think that if this kind of thing is what you're looking for, most other systems will disappoint you, because most RPG combat systems are descendants of D&D, and therefore they're just not really built for this kind of thing. So the system is a problem with doing these kinds of one-on-one fights. But the table is also kind of an obstacle to doing them, because when you are doing a head-to-head fight, the game focuses exclusively on one player, which again, might not be desirable from the perspective of a group of 4 to 6 players. When I was doing my big LARP fight, people were getting involved, people were interfering. But also, like, people could just talk amongst themselves or do something else if they weren't interested in watching, because in a LARP, participation in the game is not mediated through the GM for the most part. And additionally, LARP combats are over quickly relative to tabletop combats, because it takes a lot less time to hit someone than it does to say, I hit him. So if you're doing the final showdown against the guy who killed your master when you were just a kid, and now you've come back for revenge, that's fantastic. Very, you know, on brand, but that's a bunch of other players sitting around doing nothing for a long period of time. You can see this on streamed games or podcasts or whatever. I've mentioned before that I watched Dimension 20, and there will be long periods, like 10 to 15 minutes, where only one character's on stage and everybody else is just sitting around. Those people are doing their jobs. They're getting paid to be there. They're not on their phones or anything. Very professional. But that means, you know, because they typically go around all the players in turn, that means I would be doing nothing at all for over an hour out of like a 2-hour game session. I'm out. I'm completely checked out. Even if I'm trying to stay in, my attention has been lost. So I think there are a couple of options for managing this problem. Option one, just cut down the action aspect. The traditional approach of early D&D, sort of, is to keep combat brief and brisk. Right? Like I said before, the big decision is whether to fight or not. So most fantasy games don't handle single combat well, work on the setup, work on the consequences, and just rush through the mechanics. I used to play in another live game, which did not have live combat. It had a combat system. And for fights that were kind of like dramatically significant, that like people were watching, what would often happen would be that the GMs and the players who were involved in the fight would go off and use the mechanics to figure out what happened in the fight, and then come back to the game and act out the results of that to represent what the watching characters might see. Now, this is more exciting for the audience, less thrilling for the players. This is kind of the approach that I took in my own scenario, the Meegonian Mind Murders. Not the acting out thing, but the minimizing the action thing. In the Meegonian Mind Murders, there's a plot surrounding like a series of prize fights, like old-timey bare-knuckle boxing matches. And an old-timey bare-knuckle boxing match is probably the least interesting fight you can have in Old School Essentials. It's not even D&D 5th. Most characters, in terms of an old-timey bare-knuckle boxing match, are pretty much the same. Variations into hit are going to be like 1 or 2 points in either direction. Damage is low, but hit points are low, so it's kind of just luck. Most of it is just luck. But that's not really what the plot is about. The plot is about the gambling and the spectators and the fight game and whatever. Indeed, this is also what gives the other members of the party something to do. So while their champion is wrapping their hands in bandages and stepping into the sawdust, the rest of them are like watching the bookies and searching the crowd and pickpocketing people and just kind of like making other forms of mischief. Gives them something to do in the stands. It's not really the fights, but the intrigue surrounding them, that is that context, the stakes that matter. Secondly, you could try to find ways to involve other players without involving the other characters. So if this is a fight between a character and a villain, maybe get one of the other players to play the villain. Or give them some ways to cheat or provide moral support for their person, whether that's, you know, rubbing them on the shoulders like they're, what's the coach called in Punch-Out? Doc or something? Anyway, rubbing on the shoulders like they're Little Mac in Punch-Out, or shouting encouragement from the audience, or putting a bag over the ref's head. Even in A Lucha de Apuestas, you'll see that other bits of wrestling gimmickry, like the managers and the seconds and whatever, are getting involved because that's just how the genre works. Third, you could try to change the system. A lot of games attempt to make this kind of thing work by adding like extra detail or realism. You know, I think a different foundation is needed. Now, mechanically, I don't know how that would work. I'm not suggesting that every game should be a LARP. I'm not suggesting the like Adventures of Baron von Munchausen combat system, which is that you actually fight. And if you can't because there are ladies present, then you play rock, paper, scissors or something. You know, I'm not suggesting that as a system, but there must be a combat system somewhere that gives you the excitement of a one-on-one fight. It's really weird if you look at role-playing games that do this, like the Street Fighter RPG has a lot of stuff about like the combos and that aspect of it that's meant to evoke Street Fighter. But Street Fighter is almost entirely about head-to-head fights between two characters, often in a street. And it's a little surprising that the combat system, as far as I can tell, the way fights are in scenarios is very much like you're attacked by three ninjas plus a leader kind of things. Very more kind of like standard D&D. It's a party system. But that's not how like the narrative mode in a Street Fighter game works. Even if, you know, Ryu and Guile and Chun-Li are hanging out, they'll be confronted by some bad guy, and then Ryu will fight him. And then they'll run along, and they'll be confronted by some bad guy, and then Chun-Li will fight him, and so on. Somebody has to have cracked this system problem, and I invite your recommendations that aren't just point one. So systems where players in single fights are making interesting and important decisions. There must be some. Because this trope is really prevalent in fantasy and in the literature that inspires fantasy. Like, Liam suggested the example of the Lucha de Apuestas, and I think that that speaks to the stakes and the context, but the single combat is a feature of fantasy and heroic literature from all over the place, whether that's the Western High Noon Shootout or an Arthurian knight finding a black knight at a river crossing and jousting with him, or dragon slayings, gladiatorial games, kung fu fights against the man who killed your master. I'm in the process, as I've mentioned in the past, of reading the classic Chinese novel, The Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and it's full of that. Like 100,000 troops will line up for a battle, and then Zhao Yun will ride out in front of them and fight a single combat against whichever of Cao Cao's generals is there, and then that will effectively determine who wins the battle. So this is a long-standing trope. There must be some game that supports it better than the ones that I'm aware of. These things are adventure staples, and I think that they rely on those three legs: stakes, context, action, which incidentally is why the fights in Romance of the Three Kingdoms feel a bit repetitive after a while, because the context is there, but only sometimes the stakes, and actually surprisingly rarely the action. So yeah, that's what I think about single combats as expressed in the form of Mexican professional wrestling. So Liam, thank you very much for your support, and I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Everyone else, remember that if you'd like to be like Liam and get your own special episode, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. In our next episode, we'll be returning to Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram @MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution license. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.